And now we present episode 15 of our radio drama, written and presented by Jill Bevilacqua, and entitled To the Ends of the Earth.
Last week's episode told of Paul's vision of the Macedonian and his journey to Philippi, where he converted Lydia and was later imprisoned with Silvanus. How an earthquake opened the prison doors and the jailer was converted, and how the local authorities begged the disciples to leave town. In today's episode, you will hear of Paul's time in Thessalonica and later in Athens, where he uses philosophical arguments to preach the gospel, with little success.
Passing through Amphipolis and Apollonia, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy eventually reached Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. Paul, as usual, introduced himself, and for three consecutive Sabbaths, developed the arguments from Scripture for them, explaining and proving how it was ordained that Christ should suffer and rise from the dead. Some of them were convinced and joined Paul and Silvanus, and so did a great many God-fearing people and Greeks, as well as a number of rich women.
So I thought this would be a good place for your breaking of bread. We used to gather here, my friends and I, for our, how you say, pagan ceremonies. There was a statue of our household god there, by the fountain. Of course, I've had it destroyed. How foolish it all seems now, our worship of idols.
It's a beautiful garden. And yes, I think it would be very suitable. Our numbers are growing daily, and Jason's house is, well, very comfortable there, and he's so kind, but it's nowhere near as big as this.
Good, then that's settled. And now won't you come inside and take some refreshment? It's nearly noon and, well, the house is cool. You can rest a while. My servant...
No, please, please, you're very kind, but I must return to my tent making. I have a number of orders. I've built up quite a clientele here in Thessalonica since we came all those weeks ago.
But you must eat. How can you go on like this, preaching and working? Do you ever sleep?
Oh, you get used to it. And I have to earn a living, you know. No one is going to say Paul is a scrounger. Christ himself was a workman, remember?
Yes, you told us. Well, if I cannot persuade you...
Thank you again, madam, and farewell till tonight.
Till tonight, then. You will find the place ready. I shall see that there is bread, wine...
Paul!
Oh, Paul! What's that? I think there's someone at the gate.
Paul! Paul!
That's Silvanus. I must go.
He sounds agitated. I'll let him in.
Silvanus.
Paul! Oh, excuse me, madam. Paul, we must get away somewhere. Hide. There's a movement against us in the town. The Jews, they've got agitators running around stirring up people against us. It looks nasty.
You must take refuge here. No one will know. Where is your other friend?
Timothy? Oh, he's all right. He's down at the port talking to his sailor friends.
It's very good of you to offer us asylum, madam, but we can't possibly accept. It's not right to expose you to such a risk. I have a good friend. He provides me with goat's hair for my weaving. We'll go there. Come, Silvanus.
Take care, Paul. Farewell.
The Jews, full of resentment, enlisted the help of a gang from the marketplace, stirred up a crowd, and soon had the whole city in an uproar. They made for Jason's house, hoping to find them there and drag them off to the people's assembly. However, they only found Jason and some of the disciples, and these they dragged before the city council.
They're here! They're in our town! These people who've turned the whole world upside down have come here!
Down with the Christians!
Yes. They've been staying at Jason's.
Yes, Jason the Jew, he's one of them now!
They're all acting against Caesar's decrees!
No, they've got no respect for any of them!
I see there's another emperor. Oh, Jesus!
What's all this? Who are you accusing?
These Christians! They've turned everything topsy-turvy!
Where are their leaders? Is this the man?
No, that's Jason. He's one of them now. He's been harboring them. And I expect he's hidden them somewhere now. You ask him.
Well, I don't know.
The city authorities were disturbed when they heard this, and they made Jason and the rest give security before setting them free.
So you think I should stay for a while?
Yes, Timothy. It's the best thing in the circumstances. Aristarchus will help you. He may be a new convert, but he's an old hand already at preaching. And his mother will take care you don't starve, I'm sure. She's been so good to us.
Oh, you can count on us, Paul, and we'll join you in good time. Be sure of that.
You will take care, won't you? The roads are so dangerous at night. Bandits, wild animals.
But none of them are as dangerous as these Jews, Mother. They've really got their teeth into Paul and Silvanus now. You should have seen them at Jason's. They were ready to tear them apart.
Yes, Jason told us they'd rounded up all the local delinquents.
What a good thing you were here, Paul.
Yes, but now you two must make yourselves scarce.
Here are some provisions for the journey.
All right,
and
thank
water.
You.
And water. Be careful of that.
Goodbye. Sure. Take
care.
When it was dark, the disciples immediately sent Paul and Silvanus away to Berea. Here the Jews were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they welcomed the word very readily. Many Jews became believers, and so did many Greek women from the upper classes, and a number of the men. When the Jews of Thessalonica heard that the word of God was being preached by Paul in Berea as well, they went there to make trouble and stir up the people. So the disciples arranged for Paul to go immediately as far as the coast. Paul's escort took him as far as Athens and went back with instructions for Silvanus and Timothy to rejoin Paul as soon as they could.
Look, sir, the Spear of Athena.
Is that the statue? The famous statue of Athena?
That's it, sir. Athena, our goddess. When we see the sun flashing on her spearhead, we know we're nearly home.
Must be enormous. I mean, we still have quite a way to go.
70 feet high she stands, sir, no less.
Ah. Lord, if these men can build such splendors in the worship of idols, what will they not do when they know you? We're coming in. There's Mount Hymettus. That's the Isle of Aegina. And there, that hill, those columns. That's the Parthenon.
That's the Acropolis. Yes, and the Parthenon. We'll be in port in a few minutes.
Athens. And then, who knows? Corinth, maybe. The glory that was Greece will be Christ's glory.
As Paul waited for the others in Athens, his whole soul was revolted at the sight of a city given over to idolatry. In the synagogue, he held debates with the Jews and the God-fearing, but in the marketplace, he argued every day with anyone who would face him. Even a few Epicurean and Stoic philosophers disputed with him.
Extremely interesting. Tell us more.
Well, I don't know that I could go along with you there. I mean, an afterlife. Epicurus would never...
I tell you, sirs, this is the good news. The news of resurrection. Jesus.
Oh, no, not another babbler. Oh, I fear. Oh, my dear fellow, I'm afraid you've mistaken your audience. We are not your city idler, you know. All ears for the latest gossip.
No. Give him a chance to explain himself. I'm intrigued. This resurrection person must be a goddess, I suppose. Consort of this Jesus fellow.
I don't know why you're so interested. I mean, he's a seed picker. Collects ideas and throws them...
The greatest news is that Jesus rose again on the third day.
Jesus? A man?
Rose again? Oh. After death?
This parrot doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just a propagandist for some outlandish gods. I really don't think we should waste our time anymore.
But that's what's so amusing. Wasting time is such an exquisite pastime. Admit it, you know you enjoy it.
Oh, if you look at it that way.
Anyway, I'm curious. I think we should hear him in the right environment. Why don't we take him up to the Areopagus? Invite him to speak before the council.
What? Go up there in the seat?
Oh, no, no. Oh. In the evening, after sundown. We'll get everyone together.
Sure. Oh, I've forgotten what a climb it was. Oh, I was sick last time the council met.
So you were. You didn't miss anything, though. Same old discussions. That's why I think we need something new to talk about. Now, this man...
Hey, look, he's coming up right behind us.
Oh, yes. And that's Dionysius he's talking to. I wonder what he thinks.
Well, are you going to ask this fellow to explain himself better?
I will. I say there, Master. I don't know your name.
Paul is my name.
Paul, then. Now, we would like to know just what this new teaching is which you present.
You bring strange things to our ears.
Yes, to us some of the things you said seem, how shall I put it, startling.
Now, I wish to know what these things mean.
Yes, we would like to find out. You understand, we are men of learning, of ideas.
Philosophers.
We discuss, we argue, we debate.
And we love to hear new argument.
Come, friend, speak to us. Speak freely. Out here in the open, away from the city centre, we shall all be able to hear you, and you'll not be disturbed by the uncouth rabble.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. Men of Athens, I have seen for myself how extremely scrupulous you are in all religious matters, because I noticed, as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, that you had an altar inscribed to an unknown god. Well, the god whom I proclaim is in fact the one whom you are already worshipping without knowing it. Since the god who made the world and everything in it is himself Lord of heaven and earth, he does not make his home in shrines made by human hands.
Oh,
yes. I see your eyes are all turned upwards to that magnificent building on the hill of the Acropolis, your Parthenon. It's beautiful, those stones touched by the light of the setting sun. But I say, God does not make his home in shrines made by human hands. Nor is he dependent on anything that human hands can do for him, since he can never be in need of anything. On the contrary, it is he who gives everything, including life and breath, to everyone. From one single stock, he not only created the whole human race so that they could occupy the entire earth, but he decreed how long each nation should flourish, and what the boundaries of its territory should be. And he did this so that all nations might seek the Lord, and by feeling their way towards him, succeed in finding him. Yet he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As indeed some of your own writers have said, we are all his children.
That was Epimenides of Cnossus, if I remember rightly.
Yes, but the other line was from Aratus. He was a Cilician.
Ooh, and isn't this man a Cilician? Tarsus, he said. The Cilician Gates, you know.
Actually, Cleanthes, the Stoic, used a very similar language.
Since we are the children of God, we have no excuse for thinking that the deity looks like anything in gold, silver, or stone that has been carved and designed by a human being. God overlooked that sort of thing when men were ignorant, but now He is telling everyone everywhere that they must repent because he has fixed a day when the whole world will be judged and judged in righteousness. And he has appointed a man to be the judge. And God has publicly proved this by raising this man from the dead.
Oh, I told you we were wasting our time.
You win. But it wasn't all nonsense. And you must admit he's got all the philosophical tricks by heart.
Maybe. But resurrection of the body. Hey there, Paul of Tarsus. We'll hear you again, another time. That's enough for the summer evening.
Wait, look. Oh, Dionysius. He's up there still, listening.
Oh, he's bewitched. I always said he was a bit odd.
After that, Paul left them. But there were some who attached themselves to him and became believers. Among them Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman called Damaris, and others besides.
Damaris.
Oh, I thought I'd never catch you up.
What is it? Are you all right?
Yes, I'm fine. But you, you're leaving Athens? Dionysius told me.
Yes, Damaris, I'm leaving. I'm afraid Athens has been... I can't explain.
I understand. I'm sorry. We've let you down.
No, you've been great. You and your family, Dionysius, all of you. It's just that... Well, I suppose I was expecting it to be different. But you and Dionysius will be more successful than me. It's up to you now to spread the word.
And you? Where are you going now?
I'm heading for Corinth. But I'll keep in touch, send you help if I can. And now, I must be away.
God be with you, Paul.
And with you, Damaris. Farewell, Athens. You had your chance. And now... It's Corinth for Christ.
And you can hear part 16 of our radio drama To the Ends of the Earth at this same time next week.